sneaking in a little Ham Palace. You got it. As I record this, I'm looking at a parking lot full of water. It has rained the last couple days. And it's in the parking lot of the gym I work out at, which I've done a podcast at. Across diagonally across from this gym is a Burger King, which the drive-through driveway is now a river. A river runs through it, and it is threatening to rise to an even higher level. I don't know if it's going to pull it off or not, but it's pretty incredible. The sun is coming down, and the golden rays are rippling off the waves as I speak. And I figure, hey, it's a good time to do a podcast. Got a little time to kill. Wanted to knock out another episode before October's over. I realize I have not had a guest on in a little while, and Sir Michael Caine has not been on in a while. I think he's kind of overdue to be on, but you know, Sir Michael Caine, he's got work to do. You know, he put it out on Twitter. He said, you know, contrary to what some people are saying, I am not retired, and I will take him upon his word that he is not, and he is actively seeking acting work as I record this podcast. I might be up for watching, I don't know, some cheesy horror movies again. I might watch The Hand again this year. But, well, I'm a little late on this, news than I usually would be. And I think it's because I've had a few hectic few days here. And some things have come up, as they always do, that I must attend to. And, but hey, I can knock something out now. Let's talk about that Alec Baldwin. Yeah. Really, really sad case that this has happened. It's really a tragedy. I'm an Alec Baldwin fan, and it's really sad when something like this happens. If you've not heard about this by now, it's unbelievable. Still, this is about as shocking as the end of No Time to Die, pretty much. It's he used a prop gun during his shooting of his movie Rust, if I believe it's for Netflix. Low budget, super low budget, and it sucks. I hate talking about it. I got to talk about it, but it stinks to talk about it, but he used the prop gun when they were rehearsing, and apparently it was either loaded with a real bullet or the discharge shot and killed the DP. Just saying that sentence is so surreal. And the director was injured, apparently. I think he was sitting down behind her or whatever the case is. He was told it was a cold gun, so he was told there was no ammunition in it. And what a terrible thing to happen on a movie set. Now, movies are dangerous. I've worked on low independent movies, but just working on a TV show with a fair budget, there's a lot of heavy equipment. There's a lot of electricity. There's a lot of things happening with props and other things. Coolers, if you will, with food that need to be, you know, depending on what the terrain is of the set. You could be traveling upstairs several times with heavy coolers. Just things like that alone that can cause, if you're not careful, extreme stress to the body. Or, you know, I was just researching There's a great channel on YouTube called Landham Sea Goes There. I highly recommend it for if you're a film nut. And he talks about, he does a deep cut behind the scenes of some westerns, and one of them is Good, Bad, and the Ugly. And he talks about the actor that played, what's his name in it? Well, the actor's name is Eli Wallach, and he plays the bad, and let's just say Tuco, I believe is his name, Tuco, and well, he was doing a stunt. He insisted on doing a stunt next to a train. I mean, just saying that, this sets it up. I mean, he wanted to get the realism of it. So it's a scene where he's fighting with a big Civil War soldier grunt, this big guy. And I think he's able to knock him out and put his body on the railroad tracks. And he's handcuffed to this guy. And so he puts his railroad handcuff chain there, and when the train comes, it's gonna run right over the Civil War dude, and it's going to cut the chain in half so he can be free of this big person. And so he does it. He goes up and he's lying there, and the train, real life train, comes over. It goes over the chain, but much to the director's forgetfulness, or whatever you want to call it, he didn't realize that there were stairs, metal or iron or steel stairs, on the bottom of this train that could clearly severely injure Eli Wallach, or possibly even decapitate him if he'd stuck his head up. And thankfully, it didn't. But it just goes to show that even though things are rare on sets, that things go wrongly, they do happen. And stuntmen do get killed up into this day. And there's just so many variables that occur on sets. So many things you don't think about. There's the things that you don't think about that can mess up your film. And dealing with that, there's also an incident having to do with a bridge that explodes. And the actors, I believe, not knowing that the bridge was going to explode at a certain time. And things that don't, I mean, you know, so Eastwood and Wallach and, what's the other guy's name? Plays the ugly. It's not coming to me. He's a good villain actor, though. They didn't know that it was going to explode at a certain time, so they... If they had known it, they would have hustled. I think Clint said they would have hustled a little bit more to safety. But there's a lot of miscommunication, non-communication. Things slip through the cracks. And what has happened here is that there was a breakdown in communication, for sure. And if I had to theorize, it was probably because it was such a low-budget affair that things weren't getting checked enough, or the people that were supposed to be doing the checking weren't, or they were doing another job. They were doing multiple jobs. And I don't know how. I mean, I don't know how that stuff doesn't get checked, even if it's coming from another movie set. That, you know, at the end of every movie set, I would assume they would check each gun to make sure there's no bullets in them. So the next movie that gets this gun, starts the movie with no bullets or no shrapnel in the barrel or anything, or blank debris. But it is unreal how this stuff happens. And I mean, I was thinking about, you know, the Die Hard movies and the Lethal Weapons and the Rambo movies and Commando and Terminator and all the Total Recall and all the, you know, blanks that were fired on those movies, and the Westerns in the 70s and 60s and the 50s, and like how very little that's happened, and how lucky some of the actors have been, which I'm sure they've been shot at probably within 20, I think I heard something like you're not supposed to be 20 feet in front of a blank. But I'm sure some of those movies had some actors that were closer than 20 feet, if I had to guess. But even so, think about it. It's kind of a terrifying thing. Even using blanks, somebody's shooting at you with a submachine gun like a Die Hard 2 or something, or a mech or whatever the hell they were shooting, like Uzis and stuff. Like, well, dang. Any, you know, if there's still that percentage that you could get shot by one of those things, 20 feet away or not, you know. So it's a risk. Making movies is a risk. Especially making action movies is a risk. Things are blowing up at different times. Debris. You know, you think about vibrations from explosions, how that can screw things up. It's just, it's freaky stuff. It's freaky stuff. But I wanted to talk about that. And just know that, you know, our entertainment comes at a price. Well, a money price, but also a risk and life price too. And it's a good point to be made. Like, I always appreciate when they use squibs and blanks in movies because of the realism. But it does look chintzy when they use the CG muzzle flashes. But, you know, if your story is good, it's going to be less chintzy because you kind of forgive that because it's a good story. I think it's when it just really looks, when the story's not there or the passion's not there, it just makes things seem a lot cheaper. But, yeah, the quality control, you know, especially in a Netflix movie, they have the money to afford a little bit more than that. And someone made a good point, like, you know, if you don't have the budget to have a sufficient safety crew, especially when it comes to guns in a Western, don't make the movie. Don't make the movie unless it has that certain set criteria in there, you know. But it's just sad. I mean, pray for the DP's family, and I think the director's making a recovery right now, so I think he'll be okay. But unbelievable. I mean, imagine having this on your conscience, that even if it's not your fault, you pointed a gun at somebody and they were shot right in front of you. You shot them physically, even though it wasn't your fault. Think about the implications of that to your psyche. It's terrible. And, you know, he doesn't deserve that. You know, nobody does. So I pray for him too. And, you know, everyone talks about, oh, you know, he's so against guns and everything. It's like, well, you know, okay. Okay, so what? Like, let's not talk about that. This is heavier. This is deeper than that. This is about someone that's undergoing trauma through no fault of his own, you know. Should he have checked the gun, the barrel of the gun, for a bullet? Sure. But can he, you know, honestly, if somebody says cold gun, and is it his responsibility? It's, you know, the man that's in charge of safety for those weapons and whoever is running the show. Possibly the director, you know. I have heard Alec may have produced this movie too. It's terrible. So wanted to comment on that. I gotta get going in a little bit here, but yeah. I'm gonna be putting out another podcast that's a little bit more happy. I guess this one's not that happy nor funny. But yeah, just know that our entertainment comes at a price, and it's sad. Be mindful, be careful what you do and everything you do. And I'll talk to you later. Well, long days, pleasant nights, and I'll try to make the next one a little bit happier, guys. All right. Talk to you.